Instruct movement safer and easier with Floor Marks, the original temporary floor marking system. Markers for your sealed gym floor that come in 5 bold colors, dry in just minutes, and wipe away with water or our Floor Marks foot wipes. Floor Marks products have been tested by the Maple Flooring Association as safe for sealed floors and have passed safety friction slip tests. One marker equals 5 rolls of floor tape without the same costs, hassles, or floor damage. Visit floormarks.com for more information. FLOORMARX.com. Do more with your floor.
Hi, this is Mark Brazzi for Breakthrough Basketball. Breakthrough Basketball is the world's number one resource for coaching products and camps. Our website features free resources for coaches, parents, and players. We also offer videos and ebooks that range from offensive and defensive systems to drills to skill development and everything in between. Our video products are some of the highest rated and most comprehensive in the industry. We also offer over 400 basketball camps across the country for players of all ages and all skill levels. Make sure you check out breakthroughbasketball.com for all of your basketball needs.
Is ticked. There you are. You're running for your life.
Coaches, welcome to the Championship Vision Podcast. This is Coach Kevin Furtado for episode 349 today with Coach Dave LaVista. He's the head girls varsity coach for the Kimberly Papermakers in Kimberly, Wisconsin. He's got 30 years of coaching experience, 9 seasons as an assistant at Kimberly, 2 seasons as the head coach at Kimberly, the 2022-23 16-12 record, and an Elite 8 finish in the state tournament. In 2023-24, they were 23-4 and a Sweet 16 finish in the state tournament. You can contact Coach LaVista at KimberlyGirlsBasketball@gmail.com. You can go on his website, Kimberly Girls Basketball, and check out some great information about his offensive and defensive system and his program. Twitter, it's at DLFitEd. Coaches, let's welcome Coach Dave LaVista. Hey, coaches, welcome back to the Championship Vision Podcast. We got a special guest today. It's episode 349, David. So we've been rocking and rolling, man. We got David LaVista here, the head girls basketball coach at Kimberly. I gotta say, I love your program's name on that. Kimberly High School out of Wisconsin. And you're the Peacemakers, correct?
Papermakers.
Papermakers. I don't know why I said Papermakers. Why don't you change it to the Playmakers? Because that's how you guys play.
That would be pretty good. Because to be honest, it used to be a big paper mill town, but now there isn't a paper mill here anymore.
Papermakers.
But that's that's why we're the Papermakers.
Yeah, and of course, David. What I think, they have a unique system and unique name for their school, so that kind of goes hand in hand. David's done a great job. I kind of gave you his bio beforehand. But David, man, talk a little bit about yourself and how you got started in the game and what you're doing now.
Absolutely. I live in Kimberly, but I teach in Green Bay. And then I'm an elementary phi ed teacher. I've coached basketball I started coaching in college. So I've been teaching for 30 years. So over 30 years coaching. All sorts of levels, boys, girls. Started here in Kimberly as an assistant 9 years ago, after coaching in Green Bay and in other places, and really enjoyed it. Had the opportunity, I worked with a good friend of mine who's Hall of Fame coach, who allowed me to install and instill these offensive concepts. Coach was a great defensive coach. We used to score my first year, we made it to state and we were scoring 36 points a game. Now we're up in the 60s, high 60s and 70s. Different game, different time frame. But that's my background here in Kimberly, and love teaching elementary age kids. So one of the big things that I've always done for the program is work with our youth kids. Having that connection with our youth kids is one of our biggest things that we push in the program, especially now with me as the head coach. We have really tried to connect with those kids, and those kids get to our games. We did a Meet the Makers night this last year where we had a bunch come in, and the kids were participating in three-point contests and stuff with that with our kids, just to build that connection and keep working with them.
Yeah, absolutely on that. David, talk about some of your key mentors. I know I have mine, high school. I'll be honest with you, most of mine are really good high school coaches. Yeah. We were talking earlier about college coaches. It's about recruiting nowadays, but there's some great teachers out there. But who were some of your mentors that really had an influence on you?
Absolutely. First, my dad. My dad was my first coach when I was in middle school, you know, and we were running a five-out motion offense back then. That's in 1983. That was pass, cut, fill. So that was always my first sense of the game, was have freedom and space. Then I played. He was my father-in-law now. He wasn't my father-in-law then. He was a big-time mentor because I played for him in high school, 3 years on the varsity in Keele, Wisconsin. And then I got into my own coaching aspect and have coaching friends who have been huge impact to me. High school coaches, Michael Wittig, and a legend in Wisconsin. Another one is Forrest Larson, who is fantastic with defensive pressure, but also footwork, and just a hard worker who, kids would work extremely hard for. And then as you go through, you start to create some sense of who you are in the game. And then you sit, like I had mentioned before, we started trying to seek out some affirmations to confirm what I'm teaching. And two that were really big on my side of melding or kind of forming my philosophy on things were Chris Oliver and Brian McCormick. Just being able to use the language, but then also see, hey, what you're teaching is legit. Because when I was teaching stride stops, 15 years ago, people would look at me like, what are you doing? We're pivoting away. We're not pivoting in to the defender. And, so we got that confirmation, and it was like, yeah, those are the people that really, really had an impact.
Yeah. And those guys, what I love is they thought outside the box.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think tell me if I'm wrong, Dave. I don't think we do enough of that in today's game. I think there's still so much more growth we can do to improve our game. But I want you to get right into your topic. Today's topic, coaches, is spacing formations and offensive concepts used to create an advantage. Matter of fact, I love that topic, and that's why I really wanted to pick his brain a little bit. But kind of talk about that and kind of dive into your topic.
Absolutely. Can I share my screen?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Can you see it up there?
Yes, sir.
Perfect. Okay. There's my information on there, and I'll have that again on the end so people can contact me, and I'm willing to share just about anything. It's hugely important that we have those people who are willing to share, and this is who I am. Just finished my second year as head coach. My first year, we were 16-12, made the Elite Eight in our state. This past year, with a really young team, we were 23-4. Sweet 16 appearance, ran into some injury problems and a really good team. But we have everybody back, so I'm really looking forward to working with our kids again next year. We got better throughout the year with understanding spacing. And I put this in here, this slide, in every single thing that I do to show people that, again, what we do is not original. It's what you do with it. You copy it, you transform it, you combine it. And that's from Kirby Ferguson, where he did a series called Everything is a Remix. And having that understanding that it's okay to take from other people's ideas, as long as you tweak it and change it and combine it, that's how creativity happens. And I put on that screen also Brian McCormick, huge influence, mainly with the language. So the language that you're going to hear today, small advantage, big advantage comes from him. He was the originator of that, wrote a great book, Saba. Highly, highly recommend it.
Yeah, great book.
Shape your thoughts on offensive basketball if this is a style that you like to play. It also helps to see this visual. My philosophy is to have a clarity and vision while allowing for flexibility in process and execution. It is my job or our job as coaches to get the kids to understand our vision of how we want to play. But the biggest thing is, as coaches and as teachers, we have to have flexibility in that process. And then with the kids, we got to have flexibility in the execution. Now, when I say flexibility, it doesn't mean that kids can just do anything. It's just about giving them the choice to be able to be successful in multiple ways. So it's our job to be flexible in seeing it. So like, for example, our whole offense is based on a stride stop, but I still teach a jump stop because some kids still use a jump stop a lot. So I'm not going to be so rigid in my thinking and rigid in my vision that they can only do one thing. And I think that's just being a good educator, finding what works and being able to adapt and adjust with it. This graphic, though, explains my philosophy of offense. And I always start with gravity. Gravity enhances our space and our time to do things. It also creates time and space, then creates advantage. Advantage produces open shots. Open shots increase our opportunities for makes, and makes then improve our gravity. And then all tied together with that is decision-making and what makes sense. We talk to our kids all the time about what makes sense when you're making a decision. For a simple example, if there's a double gap on one side and a single gap on the other, there's more bodies over on this side, what makes sense? Where should I drive? So those are the things that help with my clarity so the kids see and understand my vision. Because without that, we really would not have an opportunity to have kids understand what we're doing. So our offensive pillars, I'm sure, are pretty similar to a lot of people. But our first one is controlling space. We want to make space, take space, and hold space. And understanding when to do each. And then I break space down in individual and then team space that I'll talk about later. But if we could play off 2 feet, if we have a small spatial advantage, that's what we want to do. And we spend, you know, the most of the time in a game, you're going to be playing off 2 feet because it's not going to be a huge advantage at the rim or a spatial advantage. So we have to make sure we also understand, though, that we can play off 1 foot if we have a big spatial advantage. Our tempo is our next pillar. Again, we play at a faster tempo, but we want to make sure that we have flexibility in that. So I called it Goldilocks. Not too fast, not too slow, just right. Understanding the time and situation is huge, but also understanding we can create the big time advantages when we are playing in transition. We want to dictate that tempo. Next one is we want to touch the paint. We're nominally five out, but we are looking to touch the paint either with post-ups on the pass or off the dribble. But we want to touch that paint. It could be a drive and a kick out, but that ball, every possession, unless it's a transition three, is pretty much going to have a paint touch. If we're not getting paint touches, then they're not seeing my vision of how we want to play. So then we have to adjust and make sure that we are touching the paint. And our last pillar is we want a big advantage shot every possession. I tell the kids all the time, I don't coach make miss. I coach big advantage, no advantage, small advantage. And if we get a big advantage shot every possession, I'm pretty thrilled. Even if on the scoreboard, you know, we're not going to miss every shot. Nobody's trying to miss, but we have a tendency to miss no advantage shots. So that's the thing. We were really stressing. We want to get a big advantage shot every possession. Now, that doesn't mean that every player has the exact same, you know, spectrum of what's a big advantage. You know, if I'm a 50% three-point shooter, my big advantage, and I'm able to get it off with little space, that might be a big advantage for me, might not be a big advantage for anybody else. And that we do talk about that, understanding role. I put our points per possession this year. We were at 1.05. That's really solid for a varsity girls basketball team.
Yeah, it's very, very good. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, I'm really thrilled with that. I'd like to see that increase this next year with since we have everybody back and I have real high expectations and they have high expectations. But we missed too many shots at the rim this year. Our youth kind of showed. I believe we'll be better next year with that. Sure. But keys to that, you know, we want to throw strikes. We throw one hand passes, we throw two hand passes, but we really want to catch with two hands. That's one thing that we got to do. Unless we're in the post, we're thrown to that one hand, but it's our job as a post player to go get it. The ball should move. We don't want it to be sticky. And then we want to take care of the ball. That gives us a shot every possession. This year we were at 16.4%, our turnover percentage. Again, pretty solid. I'd like to see it about 15 with the number of possessions we have. But those are our offensive pillars. And that's my vision. So our kids see this. But then we need to have flexibility in that process of teaching it. But everything is going to be based on that, creating a gravity player. Yeah. Gravity players are the whole key. It doesn't really matter what you run on offense. If you have gravity players, it all starts with them. And having gravity is what I describe as the force created by ball-skilled shooters who can start, stop, and pivot under control while making decisions that make sense. And if you have five gravity players on the floor, you're going to be pretty darn good. You know, this year we had one kid who chose not to shoot. She was capable of shooting, but she was a ball mover. But at times we had to tell her to shoot. If you're open, you have to shoot it. Otherwise they're not even going to guard you. And that just creates difficulty. And next year we should have, you know, with everybody returning, we have gravity players at each spot, and coming in off the bench. So that's huge. And it's our job as coaches to give kids opportunities to become more skilled, to be that gravity player. You know, the game becomes more fun the more skill you have. And it is a big thing that starts our whole offensive stuff. I don't talk any set, any formation, anything with our little kids. It's all about becoming skilled to be a gravity player. We play one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three, but that's all with the understanding of making decisions, using your footwork, creating, finding, and using advantages. And on the catch, we shoot it, we drive it, we move it. At least that's the goal. That's the vision. We don't want to catch, hold, jab step three times. We want to make that decision on the catch. Is it always perfect? No, it isn't. And sometimes holding it is okay if there's an action created, but that's with the first thing that we teach kids. It's if you're open, you know, they're short on the closeout, you're shooting it. If they're running really close to you, you're driving it. If you have a teammate who has the advantage, we're moving it. And that is really the whole basis of what we're doing. I have structured improvisation, which is the best description of how we play. We have a structure, but there is freedom within that structure, freedom within that spacing template. Kids earn opportunities to do more things the more skilled they are. The more they understand how to make and take space, both individually. So if I'm going against my own defender, I'm able to clip her hip and get by and then make the decision from the help as they're coming. That gives me more freedom. And then also making space for teammates also gives us more freedom because we're able to use our skills in that space created. The things that I really, really stress in all of this stuff starting, you know, playing one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three is learning how to play in the shades of gray. We do run sets, but that's the last thing I teach, if that makes sense, as I'm going through. Mm-hmm. We got to learn how to play in the shades of gray, you know, playing in transition, playing when we have an advantage, playing when we have a disadvantage, knowing what to do if your drive is stopped, giving yourself opportunities so you don't turn it over, and giving yourself opportunities to find and create advantages for your teammate. So that's our goal, to disorganize the defense, create an advantage through tempo, ball movement, player movement, making and taking space. And it does truly start with having gravity players. One thing that I don't hear many people talking about, but I've always stressed this, is that the game is played behind you. So having that understanding that, you know, good players see the game in front of them. So if I'm driving a double gap and I see that kid in the corner open, I might be able to pitch if she's open, if they slid to help. But being able to get into your pivots and understanding the game is behind you is hugely important for us because we hit our pass backs and we hit our skip backs a ton. And trying to get them to see that is all about playing a ton of one-on-one, well, more not one-on-one, but two-on-two or two-on-one and three-on-three, and understanding that. So the way I teach offense is backwards design. I start with the end in mind. You know, how would we want a possession to end? The simplest way that I'd love to see it, hey, we got a big advantage in the paint. You know, we have a spatial advantage. Somehow we made it, you know, team action or whatever. Space was there. Space was taken. Nobody's in the way. We could finish off 1 foot. We get a layup. That to me is perfect. If we could get to that, that means we had a great possession. More times than not, it's going to be a small advantage. So the individual needs to make some space. We need to get into that person, veer that defender, then take the space. So veering, pivoting, shot fakes at the rim. And that's when we're finishing off 2 feet. And that's our stride stop. That's our jump stop slash hockey stop. That's what we do. I'm going to try to play some video of just some 1 foot finishes. Kevin, yeah. Is that going to be okay? Okay. So great. I'm going to go, here are all of our, you know, these aren't earth shattering, but these are all of our 1 foot finishes that you'll see us use in these clips. And we use them all. So I'm going to do that right now. We'll get to that. Oh, I should talk a little bit though about our drive reactions. So in these clips, when you see us drive, you know, I call it a first cut. So if I'm driving baseline, we have the, you know, of course, just like everybody, baseline drift. Our 45 might dive. We have somebody always filling behind. So push-pull concept, that's our first cut. That's our circle movement. If you're at the end of a double gap or a triple gap, you don't have to move. You could just hold that space. So that was just our drive reaction. And then, of course, if we're going baseline, we're looking to go to that corner drift. Our prime reactions, that's for our post player, and anybody for us can fill the post. Doesn't matter if we're our 5 foot nothing kid or our 6'2 kid. Just understanding when you get driven at in the post, we call it a prime escape. We just circle out towards the 3-point line. If I'm on the backside dunker, maybe we're in that spacing, then we circle underneath. But understanding those. And then our second cuts are when our drive is stopped. So then the kids have to make a second cut. And we do practice that out of 3-on-3 and 2-on-2. But we always want to put pressure on the rim if that drive is stopped. So here's going to be our 1 foot finishes. And let me know if you can see that video.
Yes, sir.
Is it pretty smooth?
Very smooth.
Okay, good. So here's, you know, we run a two-side break, and this one there was end up being two-side, and these are going to be all. So here we run a little action, high ball screen. But just 1 foot, there's nobody in the paint. So she sees that space. She's able to take that space. Same side, same hand. Just a quote-unquote regular layup. This is actually one of the second moves we teach our little kids. Our first one is the goofy foot, because that's more actually developmentally appropriate for little kids. And as you see, we had multiple opportunities to create space, trying to keep that lane free. And so there was just, that would be called a follow the leader drive. She just followed the kid who basket cut. You know, these are just multiple examples. Okay, so now our opposite foot, opposite hand. Again, this is just a reach layup. We teach this very little. Because our little kids, this is the first way that they shoot a layup. And I have so many parents come up to me and say, oh, they're shooting their layup wrong. I said, no, they're doing it perfect. Because later on, they'll be using this finish move against help. You know, it's just, it ends up being a natural progression as they go. I never want them to not have this move. So we don't even worry about, quote unquote, fixing their opposite hand or wrong layup. So, and our kids can do this. And as their varsity, they just do it naturally. They don't even think about it at this point. It's just, so now here she's coming and she goes opposite foot and it ends up being a reverse. And the beautiful part is, again, it's more developmental. So here's our 5'2" girl. She uses it to get timing off so people can't block her shot. So she shoots it early. So she's got right hand, left foot is up. Now we go again here, nothing earth shattering about this. It's just taking space, getting to the other side, reverse layup. Can be off the same foot or opposite. but these are all good opportunities for a 1 foot finish. We get this a lot in transition when we're doing our pitch aheads. Here's a good example. She's going, there's a 6-2 really good shot blocker on her. She veers her. If she comes back to her left hand on this, it's going to get swatted. So she sees the space on the other side and takes that space. Again, getting to the other side. All good 1 foot finishes. I teach three ways to shoot a floater, which shows that flexibility in the process and then flexibility in their execution. They can choose which one they feel more comfortable with. This girl, one of the ways she likes to do it is a long layup. So we're taking a regular layup, we're just shooting it further away. And she's really good at it. She also can do a cross or a stride stop floater, which is my preferred, but that shows the, you know, I have flexibility in the process and flexibility in their execution. When I was younger, I made kids shoot it. No, do the stride stop one. And then why, you know, the kid could jump stop and do it or long layup. It's like, okay, get smarter. Okay. Have some flexibility. So this is one way that we could shoot a floater. And it can be baseline anywhere. She's really good at this. So it's like, why would I stop somebody from doing it? And then our last 1 foot takeoff is what old school power slide. But we're always cross step almost 90% of the time when we start, we're cross stepping. And from the corner, a good cross step drive on the baseline, we look to veer that defender and then come back with the help coming. We want to slide in between the help. So this is a good example. So that's the path that she's going. She clips the hip, veers, now help comes. And we take off 1 foot, get our shoulders square to the basket and do this. And we've been really successful at this for about 8-9 years. Multiple kids getting that baseline drive. So those are our 1 foot finishes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's huge for us to be able to do those. And our 2 foot finishes are all of these. And this is the stuff that we do the vast majority of the time. We're in a stride stop. That's our base. We're half donut, full donut, step through, bagel, which I'll show shortly here, and then jump stop. And it is hugely important for us to be able to get these down where we are. Well, I got to see if I got it shared here. Yeah. Able to get these consistently made. Can you see our video, our
yes,
stride
sir.
Stop? Okay. So how we teach or how I teach our youth kids this first part, you know, this is the whole basis of our offense. If you can't do this, it's going to be hard to progress to do anything else, to be perfectly honest, because our stride stop is used on the perimeter. It's used at the rim. It's used everywhere. We even close out with a stride stop on defense. So this is our base move. So we teach it as squash the bugs. So with the little first, second, kindergartens, third graders, I put two little spots on the floor, sometimes tape it down, and it's bug one, bug two. And they're looking to squash that bug. So outside foot, inside foot. And then as the kids, we talk it. Now our youth kids aren't, you know, first, second grader isn't able to finish outside their frame, but we talk it right away. And by the time they come to us, even in seventh and eighth grade, they've heard it so many times that when they get to us, they're finishing outside that frame. So if they turn and face, it's going to get blocked, you know, with the higher levels that they come. So here, she's a perfect example. There's a freshman girl this summer, played with us this year. She's finishing outside her body. So these are all stride stop power layups. So outside foot, inside foot, and then finish outside the frame. Now this one, she goes outside, inside, balls outside the frame. She notices that the help defender's there, so she actually switched it to her inside hand. This is a nice move. But it's nothing in there. We could shot fake, which is one thing that we have to get better at this year. We had too many times where we would just go up right away and then we would get bumped and not finish. So our shot fake at the rim is our teaching point this summer, big time, to get more control. We got better at it throughout the year, but it needs to be better. So again, left hand, right hand. You'll notice we're holding space pretty well in these clips as also. And then now our Euro is just simply, it's pretty easy to teach because it's just a stride stop. It's an outside foot, inside foot, but we're stepping sideways around a defender. So this is a really good angle to see it. So one foot goes down, that's the outside foot. And then the inside foot goes down. That's a Euro. So it just makes it, so here she's going straight on Euro, and then with the left hand. And it all it is a sideways stride stop. This is another good angle, inside this time to outside. And the ball's outside her frame. So in here we get another one. We're able to make that. And the way we practice that is we just do a ton of finishing, you know, against the defender. Could be a coach, could be a teammate. But we're working on that footwork. So here's our half donut. So we're in our stride stop. And we bat pivot away, create some space, and we get a shot. This is a huge, we could do it off the catch. Could do it off the drive. It's ways to create advantage with just footwork. So here again, that defender goes by, we turn around, we get a shot. It's a huge move for us. It has been for a while. And it's just a great way. And if we're in the paint, that's a paint touch. That's a good shot for us. The only shot we really don't want is that 18, 20 footer contested off the dribble.
Sure.
That's, you know, we'd rather have a three at that point. And now our full donut. So outside foot, we pivot away. That's our half donut. And then pivot forward. And it's state of Wisconsin officials do a good job. They understand that you can lift your pivot foot as long as you shoot it or pass. And it has to be, ball has to be released before it comes down. Right. So here's another one. That's another great little move to a full donut. Now, step-throughs, I still teach a step-through with the vicious pivot. With our higher-level kids, they're able to do it. It just gives them another tool in their toolbox, and it's that flexibility in execution. So if they do have the ability to rip, pivot, and step-through, they have the ability to do it, or the opportunities to do it. And again, everybody in our program can step-through. Some don't transfer it to a game yet, but that's okay. It's just not, they're not there yet, and that's okay. Right. But they could do the footwork against a one-on-one, and some might not even be worth doing this. It's better for them to do their half donut. But here, so she steps through, good rip pivot, and then releases before it gets down. Little dribble post up, same action, same footwork. Here's another one. Step through, good rip pivot, and then lift that pivot foot. You could do near hand or far hand, doesn't matter. It also happens we could do it off a spin. The biggest thing with spins, this player who's very talented, we had to talk all year about knowing when to spin. Spin when there's no help, and then you're fine. So here she does a pretty good job of knowing their space. Great footwork on the step through. Now our bagel, and I just try to use words that kids can remember. So since we do a donut, a bagel is just, it sounds like back. So we just go pit, a reverse step through. So here our post player's coming in. She's going to a good dribble post up. So she's got her inside pivot foot. From right here, she's at a great home base. Coach Novak calls it home base. This is beautiful. And she could rip through. She could shoot a half hook. She's in great position here. Now she's just feeling her defender, and she now is going to bagel where she spins back and then lifts that pivot foot, which is fine again. It's a great move for her. Here she comes a little cross, and again, bagel, spin back.
Sure.
Just a nice, good finish. And then our other one is just jump stop. Again, here's she's that one who was doing, here's her jump stop pull up / floater. Old Derek Rose, quick shoot it on the way up. He, of course, jump stop at the rim. Nothing wrong with a jump stop here. She's going to pull. This girl never misses this shot. I swear she shoots about 8 out of 10 It's like, I'm never going to have her not take that. just great. And, you know, and she's 5'6", so why go in any deeper? You know, take the space that's given. Again, off our ball screen stuff, we can jump stop, you know, just reading. You know, so that those are good actions for us, or good finishes for us off 2 feet. You know, and that those that's basically, you know, that's that playing in shades of gray and understanding how to score in those situations that, you know, you need to get to. But the next step, as we go backwards again, we have to know what to do in case our plan or our drive didn't work. So again, Coach Novak calls these protection plans. That's what we've always called it too. It's just like, hey, have a plan when you get there. So that we do a dribble post up, a bounce back, a dribble through, and then a pass back half donut. And it's good to see these in the reference of how we play offense, that it's very helpful to be able to do this for kids so they don't go in there and just throw up shots. Because we had too many times earlier in the year where kids were going in and not having a plan. We were going 1-on-3. So this is a dribble post up. If you have in a matchup, you want to get in there, we dribble, commonly called a Barkley. Our kids have no clue who Barkley is, except they see the fat guy, the fat guy on TV. Then they know who that is.
Yeah.
So here we just call it dribble post up because that's literally what it is. And then we're able to do it with a score. If anybody comes to help, we can pass out of it. So that's their plan. It slows down. So here we're passing out of it. Like I use the term slow as pro. So the closer that you get to the rim, the slower the game should be. And you could take your time. The further away you get, that's when it's got to be a quicker decision. And when we're be a pro, be slow. And that's when things start to click for us. So here she's going out, kicks it out to the 45. Here on transition, good time, being able to get into that controlled dribble post up. Now our bounce back dribble. This is all the time we spend with our little kids getting into our retreat dribbles. Here she's in a perfect position. She bounces back. Drive was stopped. She kind of went into a single gap. Spacing wasn't good. Okay, next plan. Let's bounce back. We can live the fight another day or reattack. So she could move it, but now she created a second closeout and gets in. Good stride, stop, finish, or floater. Here she bounces back. Good turn the corner. We saw that one earlier. That was just a nice follow the leader drive after a bounce back. Here's another one. Great bounce back. So there's contact. The girl did a great job defending her, getting us away from promised land, which we liked right at that elbow. If we can get to the elbow, good things are going to happen. And we bounce back. She reattacks and then uses a little spin back. Our dribble under, we use it. This took, like, it for our dribble post-ups, it took about, I started teaching dribble post-ups probably about 5 years ago, 6 years ago. And we had two players back then who were able to do it. Nobody else really brought it into the game. They didn't transfer it, but we kept with it. Then each year, more kids were able to. Now, all of our kids can dribble post-up. It's just a matter of if the matchup makes sense to do it. The next thing that we were always working on was our dribble under and through. It took us a long time for kids to transfer that because it just feels weird that you're dribbling forever. But here's, we got it this year with our point guard. She understood it. And at the beginning of the year, she was picking up her dribble in inopportune spots. Here by the middle of the year and the end of the year, she's going to dribble through and was able to find people either cutters on that first cut or a second cut if she picked it up. So here she's dribbling through. Good one-hand pass out to the open three. And you'll notice we do a ton of one-hand passing. Get the 45 dive on the dribble through. This is just really hard to guard. It's like old school. You're old like me. So it's Wayne Gretzky playing behind the net. You know, going behind the net in hockey and being able to kick it out. And this is huge. We do it left-handed as well. And we work on left-handed one-hand passes every single day. And being able to do it could be shovels. It can be in transition, left-hand pass, but it's hugely important. That's our dribble through. Now our other one is, again, just off of our pass back, knowing that the game is played behind you, and understanding your footwork is huge in this. And it's just our stride stop pass back half donut. And every kid has that footwork, so we're able to pass back. Could be on a drive to the baseline, like here we have, she follows in her taillights, so it's there. Those are all the shades of gray. Since they have a plan, they're able to play. And they're able to, none of that's called, of course. That's just understanding concepts of how we have to play and how I vision offense to be played. And we haven't even talked about the spacing aspect yet. But that's the last parts of the things that I teach kids, you know, as they grow up. You set them up to be fine, you know, in 3-on-3, you're not going to have them all jumbled together, but they don't need to know. They just need to know how to make space for a teammate. Any questions?
I love sense? It. Okay. Hey, I'm just letting you go on, man.
Hey, as you get to know me, I'll just keep going. So,
no, I love that here. I mean, I'm writing my notes and so forth. And I love how I don't feel like, and I'm probably included in this, we need to teach more variety of finishes. That's something that's actually one of my plan. Of course, coming into a new program, you got to take it, you know.
Yeah. But, just step by step. But then, you know, you get one and they once they get it secure, then it's quick. They understand. That's why the beauty of the stride stop is it fits everything. You know, you could stride stop finish. You could stride stop half donut. You could stride stop full donut. You could stride stop floater. So right there you have, and you can stride stop bagel. So just all of that. And then it goes in when we're on the perimeter. And I got my drive stopped and I could back pivot and half donut and make a pass to my partner who should be pulled behind. And that's the beautiful part is to try. Like all of this is, like I always tell people, this is simple, but it isn't easy. You know, and that's the one thing you can't put all this in at one time per se, but you can get stride stops in and then the knowing where to go on the drive. And then the biggest thing here, now that we start talking about space, getting back to being a great player, great players know how to manipulate space. So I teach space in two different ways. We go individual space. So that's the space of between you and your opponent, who's guarding you. And then that individual spatial awareness manipulation, you got to learn how to do that. Because we got to be able to, little kids don't like to get close to each other because we tell them, get your own space as elementary people all the time. Mm-hmm. But now we got to be able to get into that defender and then get away and be able to take that space. So we work on that where we talk about with little kids, we work on veering by having a tree, you know, and they stand with their branches of the tree and they got to break through the branches and snake around the tree trunk and using those visuals to help them. And then the other thing we teach is, and everybody teaches, just the language I use is team space. That's the space between you and your teammates. And again, the old Rick Bajera, spacing is offense and offense is spacing. We want to attack space, make space, take space. And these are the words that they hear. Flip the hip, open the gate, snake to take, veer, sever the angle, and try to get that people down. And I'm just going to show two real short clips of just one older clip, but it's still a good one. And I just hired this former player of mine today to be on staff again. She's back home. So it's like, yes, I got this person back on my staff. So it's huge. I'm thrilled. So we'll look at these.
Hey, so here's that's when you know, David, you're getting older, man.
Yes, absolutely. And she was on our last state team. She was a player of the year at the conference. And she had her 4 years are done. She's a special ed teacher. So I'm thrilled to have her back. So this is from a number of years ago, but the concepts are the same. And this is what we teach. So let's see if I could get it. So the anatomy of a drive here. Single gap or double gap. We want to go to the double gap. So we're attacking that double gap. And then we talk about why we drive, you know, what makes sense. You know, here's the tight closeout. So here's how we do it. or at least one way flexibility. So here again, we go cross step. So she's going to cross step right there. That's our base start. That's the only one I teach. The kids naturally will do the step by, you know, with their natural, but we want to be able to pivot on both feet. I'm not a, our kids just learn how to pivot on both from the beginning. So it's a non, you know, no worries later. So she's in that cross step and now she's looking to, gets a little hesitation, hip swivel. She's looking to open the gate. So clip the hip, open the gate. Does it perfect here. She's got it advantage. So she's going to veer and now there's nobody in the way. So she could take a 1 foot finish. And now how a simple way that you could see how to make space. Let's see if I could get it here. Find where I put it. I will look at it right here. Now those are one hand passes. I'll just skip it. I must have missed that one. But anyway, it's just a real simple, just making space for a teammate is huge for us and being able to do it on a consistent basis and in understanding what you need to do. Just sometimes it's just a simple cut to the corner, get out of the way and let people get there. Now our team space, we teach, I'll show the formations in a little bit, but it doesn't really matter where our kids start, because all of our concepts stay the same. Since all the stuff that I started talking about, all of that is our base, you know, being able to finish and then reacting to each other. Like I always say, you can't be wrong if you make space, but there are better versions of right. I mean, you could be more right, you know, so you can get to certain spots that make more sense. So if I have the ball in the slot and I'm in the wing, I probably should push to the corner, you know, doing things like that. That's where we could be more right. But the one thing that I talked to kids all the time, and we were this year, especially being so young, we had three freshmen and everything. It's like, chill before you fill. Don't be in such a hurry to move, because then you're just taking space away from a teammate. And we don't want to do that. We want to make space with a teammate. So this is our spacing template. These are our quote unquote spots that we want filled. And it's possible that they could have three on one side, which is okay. If we got a three side, that means we have more room on the other side. But these are spots. I call high post and low post prime, because anybody can go there. And with girls, I don't want to pigeonhole them as being a post player. So right. We just call it prime. It's our prime scoring spots. We want to get there. We can start there. We don't have to start there. And that's where the manipulation of space through formation can help. If we want to keep the lane open, we'll just be spread, you know, we'll just be our open five out stuff, but that's our structural template. So once kids get to a point, you know, they're fifth grade and they're starting to play games, their first spacing template, they've already played 1-on-1, 2-on-2, 3-on-3. They have some sense of how to finish. They're not very good at it yet, you know, because they're new to the game. But now we put them into this structured template. Okay, we could start top, wing, wing, corner, corner. And then we're just playing out of it. And then pass, cut, maybe our first thing that they learn. And being able to make a double gap out of that by cutting. And those are the things that we talk about.
David, can I ask a question? Yeah. What you differentiate between corner and side?
Oh, that's a great question. So that little yellow spot, it's slide. So if I have a slot drive and I'm in the corner, so nobody's in that wing, so there's a nice double gap there. If I drive and I get into a dribble post up or I stride stop and I get into my pivots, that's when the corner player should slide up.
Okay.
I don't want them sliding too early. And you're going to see, we'll show a little bit where we have a couple where we slide a little early. You know, it wasn't bad, but I'd like to have them hold that corner longer. So that defender can't be right. If she steps up, then we could burn cut it. You know, if she stays low, then we might get into a dribble post up. Now my teammate needs help. I make that second cut and I just slide up. So that's what that slide means. These are formations that we use that we can start. I can call them. Kids can get in them. It's that flexibility in execution, flexibility in process. Flat formation, we just got a person in the dunker spot, somebody in high prime. None of this is earth shattering. It's just how we can start possessions. But none of the concepts stay or change. So it doesn't really matter how we start. We can run anything, all of our concepts, our way action, our cutting, our ball screens, our gets out of all of these things. So kids have choice in that. Now, I won't give them all of these things at the beginning. You know, it's just like, hey, let's start in flat. What do you want us to do, coach? I don't care. it's like, okay, play. Let's go flat ball screen on the top and then play out of it. Mm-hmm. If she refuses the ball screen, then we're in our prime slides. So it's like, okay, they know the concepts. Now they're just playing out of those actions or out of those formations. So these are the concepts, though, that we use to create advantage out of those formations. Again, you've seen cutting. We use a slice cut sometimes, and I'll show that. A chop cut, for me, is the language I use. Similar to a slice, just different in that it's on the wing. So if I throw it to the wing and I chop cut it, they can drive right off me that way. An empty cut for us is any cut from the baseline towards high prime or top. Mm-hmm. This is how we get our get action organically. Kids catch it there. And then if I was in the slot and I threw it to you on an empty cut, bang, I'm going on a get. Cross cuts are just clear cuts from one side to the other. And then, of course, basket cuts. We use ball screens. Our language is chase or dribble chase. So if I pass it to you, I can chase after the ball and go set a ball screen. If I dribble and I flip it to you like a dribble handoff, that's our dribble chase. And then I get into a ball screen.
Gotcha.
High wing corner. I love a corner ball screen. We could do it anywhere. We do it in multiple spots. And then gets. That's our best action, to be perfectly honest, because it's hard to guard. I think it's easier to guard a ball screen than it is a get. Because if kids, first of all, I mean, I'm saying it now, but I've said it for the last 4 years running gets, and we still haven't had to guard one, but people have guarded for us. So if people try to switch the get, we just keep. And we get wide open layups. It's shocking to me. We're playing great teams and we're able to get every now and again out of a get a nice wide open layup. Or we read it and it could be shield and shovel. It could be come off and we get and then rescreen. But we play a ton of 3-on-3 gets where we just play, let's start out of a get action and then let's figure out how to read that defense and make the decisions.
So gets, you're talking about dribble handoffs, right?
Now it's a little different. So say you are, and you'll see one here once you see it. Basically, it's just a cutter cutting. I throw it to that cutter, and then now I can go get the ball. And it could be flipped to me. It could be I back cut it, or it could be the person with the ball keeps it. So it's like it could be a handoff, but it doesn't have to be. It depends on what that defender's doing. And then the way I teach pinning, the verbiage I use is pin for a friend on the way in or pin for a friend on the way out. And then it ends up being back screens or pin downs. Corner pins are our biggest screening spot. We try to pin the help, make that low defender have to decide, do I go out on a shooter or do I stay and help on a drive? Trying to get them to use good defensive teaching against the defense. So I'm going to just show a bunch of these offensive clips now. And we'll start with the slice and our chop cut.
Hey, Dave, okay. Really quick question for you.
Sure.
Your terms, are these terms that you're trying to, it's all about teaching, about kids remembering. If you say a one word, That's your language. Do you pick that up from other coaches, or you just kind of adapted it to what you feel comfortable with your players? I know it's kind of a crazy question, but.
No, it's a really good one. A little bit of both. Like I didn't know what to call a ball screen because I just didn't want, I knew there were two different ways because I didn't just want to say handoff when we would, you know, flip it because I wanted an actual pitch and then go get it or a pitch chase after it, get into a ball screen. So then I'd heard chase one day when I said, well, just chase after the ball. And so I said,
I
okay,
love
let's
that.
call it chase. And then I've heard other people call it chase. So it's like perfect. So then there's similar. So then to keep the language the same, a dribble chase, a kid can understand it. They're dribbling first and then they're going to chase a ball screen. Gets I got from Josh Schertz when he was at his Division II team. He ran a bunch of gets. It was like, oh yeah, this I love the name of that action because it was different than chase. So it was, but similar concept. Corner pins, pinning, we've always called pins instead of screening. Just to have because we're pinning it in because the way I teach screening, off ball screening, is versus zones. Young kids understand how to pin because that zone kid is more stationary. So that's just how we teach it. And then it's really when you're going against man, we'll have pin downs and you know, pinning the help. So that's our language for screening. But then away is just going to pin away. So it's nothing. And I try to name everything so it's easy to practice. And then it also is in a timeout, we could say it, hey, let's go spread. Hey, let's go get action. You know, Reagan coming up, empty cut to a get. Kate come off the get. Ava come off the get. So then it's easy to run a quote unquote set action with one word calls. So it does make it easier. And like you said, kids remember it when there's a name. So we come up with other actions like, oh wow, this is we call a dribble a prime chase is now grenade action. You know, they call it grenade in the NBA in college, where it's that the post player's catching it down low and
Down
they'll
low,
dribble
yeah.
out. So we just called that always called it a prime dribble chase. You know, now I might use grenade because it's one word, but that we
Right.
had that action, so maybe I'll change it. But I don't know. I mean, it's but that's how I name stuff.
Right.
So here's simple slice. Everybody knows what a slice cut is, but it's simple but not easy. But we're looking to create. So here she's holding the corner. Now she lifts just that little bit. She slides up. So again, slice cut. She holds like this one. I think she's going a little early. She should hold that corner just a little bit longer. And we're just trying to put defense in a decision. Do I help or do I not? And just starting with a slice, it's unbelievable to me how successful it is. Here's chop action. Chop is just a slice cut on the wing.
Right.
And now, the one thing I want to notice here on this, if you look back here, she's corner pinning. So this player, number one, who just got done playing in the McDonald's All-American game, just an absolutely great player. She's going to UConn. She's in a bind. She's guarding a shooter. Or does she help? She's got to make a decision because we are pinning her. And, she kind of gets stuck. She was going out towards the shooter. So if she would have helped, we practice kicking it out to that shooter. And it's hard to guard. So that's chop and slice. Here's an empty cut. So an empty cut is just a cut from baseline to high prime. It's a great opportunity to get gets. So this was from last summer. So here we get in. Right there. So she's now cutting down here, sees an opening in prime, high prime, and she's going to go cut right to it. She missed
Now,
this
coach, was
one.
that a set cut or a read?
Nope, just a read, just
Okay.
spacing, playing through space. So she missed that chance to go there. No problem. So she could have emptied. She chose to go on a cross cut. Never a problem. So there is a pin, a simple pin. Now, we get a little action rewind. She should bounce back. Okay, here now, this time she's cutting on her cross cut, and she decides, sees there's an opening, and there's the opportunity to go for a get if she wanted to, or she can go into a dribble post up. I mean, it's not, again, it's nothing called. So here's the 45. Here's an empty cut. She just chose to empty, sees it. We can fill that spot. This kid's diving. I mean, it's nothing called. And now here's a chase. She passes it, able to get into wing ball screen. I think this one she chose to.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
Yeah, chose to ghost it. And then we're dribble post up. And now she should be in a protection plan. Here we see turn and burn. And that's just all a read. Everybody's reading. So there we were in a dribble through. This is, again, this was the last summer. So it's I really liked that we were doing the concepts. Spacing's always a work in progress. Now she, her back cut, we just say, you see back, you burn. And it ends up being an open layup.
So just to make sure our listeners know, burn cut is when you see the back, so, right?
Yeah, you see the back. We just call it when they turn, you burn. So we like to talk in alliteration, but then also in rhyming. Kids have a tendency to remember it. So then I could say, hey, what happens when a defender turns? What do you do? Burn. All it is just a back cut, but they just hear that language. So here she's pinning. Fingers for us is a pass and then a slice. And here
she's going. Say that again, Coach. Say that again.
You bet. So fingers is, say you and I are in slot to slot. And I have the ball and I pass it to you. And then I slice cut. So if I wanted that action to begin with, I just go, hey, go fingers instead of, so it's just a pass and a slice instead of the other person slicing. That's all that fingers is.
Gotcha. Okay.
So here we're in good shield and shovel. The girl went under it. So we should have shot. That's a big advantage shot for us.
Well, what did you just call that? You said shield and shovel?
Yeah, that's our shield and shovel. So the way we practice shield and shovel is I can drive. If I can pivot back or that defender, if I'm going to get, I just turn around and shovel it and then I shield that kid's defender. So shield and shovel. That's the concept.
Love it. Yeah.
So here again, good opportunity for an empty cut. She flashes and now we're going. Ended up being almost like an X action, but that's a summer, couple summer things here. Let's see one from this year. Same concept. So she's going to empty cut. We have gravity in the corner. So she just goes away, just creates space. So here now she's going on a get. Now number 10 is a non-shooter. So they look to double. But now in this corner, we have a gravity player. D1 kid being guarded. This kid is told you can't leave her. So now we create space and we're able to get there with just a simple get, keep. That's a keep. Here's some just things where we are stacking concepts together. So again, none of these are called. Here they went into kind of like a flat formation. Our post player decided to come up high prime and set an early high ball screen. 14 is spaced in the corner. Backside, we're getting a little pin down action just on their own.
What's your call pins for a high ball screen, Coach? Is that
for if she wanted to do it, we just call that she would go fist. If she wanted to come up and let the kid go. If we do want to run it as a quote unquote formation or set right away, we just call pop. For us, pop is high ball screen roll replace, and I'll show that next. And then they just play out of it. So now she's rolling. She replaced, and now she decided to short roll, and now we're in a get. And they're going against, running off two shooters, and we catch them. We disorganize them.
Yeah, and again, we run a lot of things out of horns.
Yeah, yes. And so it'd be real easy to run get action out of horns.
Yeah.
Now, this concept we talk about later on in the year when teams start to blitz us. We call it a go concept. Stole this from Chris Oliver. Go concept. So if you pitched it ahead and then the next kid hits the roll. So if they're blitzing, we can it could be a pitch ahead and then a roll. We have, I don't have it today, but I have clips of this. But she hits her replace here, which is good decision. And there's our split step. Everything we do, we should catch in a split step so she could cross step drive either way. So here she again goes on the get. Here's our burn cut in the corner because this kid was helping. So she burn cuts. And all the while, that backside kid is holding that corner, which is beautiful. And these are this is how we want possessions to go, where it's just stacking concepts that aren't called together. But that's practiced a ton, you know, to do that. Sure. I mean, that is the biggest thing. So let's watch one more where we're stacking things together, and then we'll go. So here, this might even been in the summer. Yeah, a couple summer possessions. So here, cross cut to clear. They could do that at any time. Again, they're just making space. She decides to get. Top kid just, again, make space. We're in high prime. And then they just play out of it. Here it ended up being shield and shovel. We're still holding space. She should get out of there now. That's one thing early in the summer was once you ball screen sprint, she does a pretty good job, T position. We get into a dribble chase. Again, our player who ball screen should dive quicker. She spaced it, but now we have a corner pin, big advantage. It's just stacking actions that are hard to guard, and it's organic, so it's not a set. So it's hard to scout, to be perfectly honest. That's why I don't mind sharing, because I'm, like I said, I know how a possession should go because that's our clarity and vision, but I don't know how it's going to go exactly because the kids can choose to use concepts. Now, the good part is since I put a name to everything, I could call that too. We could go, hey, let's start in high ball screen. Let's start in pop. So this is what that would look like. So this is starting in our pop. We're just looking to create an advantage with a high ball screen, you know, and then we're making decisions out of that roll replace. It's really simple, but it's not easy. It's just trusting kids that you've played a ton of decision-making 3-on-3 and then add the fourth, then add the fifth for them to make the right decisions. So this is pop, and it's just our pop formation. And the beautiful thing, we can run it against a zone. So here it's versus a zone. We just do the inside, you know, simple 2-3. She takes the ball. Every zone kid, they're going to take at least one step with the roll. They just are, even if they know that there's a shooter. So we hit replace. Now this is we call this our triangle concept. So on a pass back, we form a triangle to make a opportunity for a high-low post entry. Their middle kid took the roll, and we're able to get a bucket low against it, early seal. So here's another one against a different team, but running pop with a different player in the ball screen and a different player in the ball or in the – actually, we have same in the replays. Again, they just have a tendency to go with that roll one step. There's that triangle. We have a big advantage shot, and that's a, you know, 40% three-point shooter getting a big advantage. Against man, same sort of thing. You know, it's just ball screen, roll, replace. We want to get into that formation. So if I call pop, they just get into pop formation, and then they play out of this action. Roll, replace. Nothing hard. I mean, we can, and we do other things. Like we could spain out of this. We could do other actions, but this is just the base. And the simpler, the better. So here's a pop drive. Now we get good skip hesitation. You know, one of the things that we teach. Now she gets there. I would say she should have got to the other side of the rim on this, or she should have kicked it, but it's still a big advantage shot. But there was more space on the other side. I can live with that. We miss it though, you know, and then we miss the follow. This was that last game of the year that we played. We missed a bunch of shots that we should have made, but we ran pop, I think 8 straight times and scored 7 different ways or got big advantage shots 7 different ways. So no advantage. She should now get into a drive protection plan. She should bounce back, which she does, hits replace. could go next down. We're reading. So when we practice these things, we teach who to look at. So where's our read? We're reading who's taking the role, who's tagging it. And then they have a sense of, okay, now we're just looking to try to create decisions by them. So now she chose to go away. It ended up being like a stagger. And we got a big advantage shot by a good three-point shooter. You know, again, the only thing that's called is that initial formation and then getting the ball screen. Here they turned it into a get. We're still in pop, but they turned it into a get on their own. Was a good decision. So she threw it to her. Same action. Just now it's coming off. She comes off on the get. So a ball screen turns into a get and just playing out of it. So she's rolling. We get the replace. She's looking to attack until stopped. Good. Could have hit. This is where one I would have liked to her. Maybe stride stop. Look for your pass back. She chose to pitch ahead. Nothing wrong with that. Just a bigger advantage was behind her. Good drive. Okay, we get a reversal. One rule we have in our offense, if you're skipped, if the ball skips over you, you should cut. So our top kid cut. And now we could get into anything and it just end up being a pin down. But that's pretty good offense, pretty good action just out of that initial. Here's a simple pass to replace. You know, kids understanding where the big advantage is. You know, so here they called this on their own, get to pop. So they just start in this formation and we get the roll. This is where in film, this is how I teach where to look. And now again, we got that triangle look, big advantage shooter. She squares in the air and able to hit a big advantage shot.
Yeah. So many things out of that pop action, man. I love it.
Just so many. And so again, this is where it is.
High low. I love a little high low offense, man.
Yep. This is simple, but it's not easy because we play so many things out of this. This is where people get in, I'm going to say, in trouble. They see this and they think it's a set. So they're going to go put this set in. But I don't put this in, quote unquote, installed until we've played so much 3-on-3 and we're finishing and we're looking for our pass backs and our footwork's good enough to be able to do it. And that's the key to the success. That's what makes it look, quote unquote, simple. So she makes a great read and we get a roll. Again, it's the same action. And again, it's hard to guard. Defense has to make decisions. You know, and if we blitz it, we short roll. So we practice these things or we go to that goal. And now she sees they stay with the replace because the replace just hit a big advantage three. And now we have a little wrap around one hand pass with nobody there. It's just real simple action. And it's sometimes you even get it on the drive. You know, here this was four straight possessions, four different ways that we scored or got a big advantage shot. And holding that space in the corners is huge. But this is just, again, roll replace. Now this girl didn't know, should she go? Well, she went a little late. So we had enough space. We could take it with 1 foot finish. And I think she got hit on the head, but that's me as a coach. So here again, now this ends up being, again, we didn't call pop, but here when you said, so here's a slice, our girl is slice cutting and now it turned into a fist. So she went to a ball screen. And now she lifted a little bit too early again. I'd like to have her stay in that corner just a little bit longer, just so we're not passing it backwards. I'd rather have our kid come to a stride stop, be able to pivot, then second cut out of it just because it's safer. Now this girl who's driving is skilled enough to make that pass, but it's a hard pass. You're going one way and you're throwing it another direction. That I would rather have it a little safer, stay in that corner just a touch longer. But again, just a kick and big advantage shot for us. All out of that same action, but they added a slice cut. Again, paint pull. As you see, it's an action that is, it's hard to guard. It just really is hard to guard. And we can run multiple players out of it. So now our next thing would be to teach, okay, who's taking the role. She made the right decision to paint pull here, but through film, we'll look, oh, look, we have backside corner is an option that we could have if they start staying low and trying to tag the role with that backside corner defender. So here is high, low, good decision. Next pass down would have been, we just didn't catch the pass. But it's, again, it's all out of just getting to a particular formation and being mid-possession sometimes, just calling pop. Our kids will call pop, get into there. Just playing out of that formation and playing out of it. So here I would say she probably should have made the next pass down, but still not a bad look. We got a good highlight. So here's that. We did it in the game. So the kids made this read. She made it. Now our kid who was in this corner should have been in the corner earlier, ready to score. So this would be one where we're going to talk about, this is a great pass. Now, if she would have been in that corner with her good spacing, this would have been, she would have made it. But now it turns out, closeout, we should have thrown this to prime. She took a no advantage shot here. This should have been either attack the space or throw it to prime and then get into our prime actions. So those are all of the things that we do. And then we can run just, you know, just different actions off of stuff. But the whole key is transitioning into a spacing template and being able to play out of stuff. So like our transition is just simply a two-side break where we're looking make or miss. We're trying to fill corner, and then wing. And we look to pitch it ahead if we can. If kids see the advantage, you can rim run. And on misses, same thing. And we teach a lot of one-hand passes. Some people don't like that, but I mean, it's the way we play. It's sometimes the best way to get the ball to the kid who's open. But we start those in first and second grade. You know, so by the time they get to me, we have kids who can go left-hand, right-hand passing. So here we're our own outlet. Sometimes we get two sides, so the lane is open. But here's now we have a two-on-one advantage. So here, this girl, Ava, she gets to the corner and her feet are set this time. And this is what happens when her feet are set. She doesn't miss. And again, good one-hand pass. And that's touching the paint, looking inside out. Again, be your own outlet. Sometimes it ends up being a three-side and spacing gets a little, but we're looking to sprint. If we can get a rim run, we're getting a rim run. And anybody can do it. If you notice the first one, our 5'2" kid did it. We don't have positions per se. We do have one kid who we talk about, hey, look to be in low prime, high prime. But in general, anybody can fill anywhere. We're just looking to create the separation with our two side. So they have to make decisions. Do we run back to the paint or do we go out on shooters?
All right, do you have a designated, what we call our rabbit? Do you have a designated rim runner or like you're saying?
No, we just play out of that spacing template. So it can be, there'll be times like, hey, Kate, you take it out and you be the trail, you know, that way. So maybe we want to play through her or Reagan, our big, so then we can get into early ball screen right away and get into shake action, which is another one, you know, just with roll replace on the wing. But yeah, we are just, it's, you are sprinting. Like here, we got two kids rim running. Spacing isn't the greatest, but they got four defenders in the paint. She holds space. We make a window. And then we're looking for those transition inside out threes if we don't have a layup. Two on one. I threw this one in there because, again, I want kids to be creative. And then these are things we practice. We practice behind the back passes. So it is, we do it out of a tag game. And it's taken, let's see, this is my 11th year. Now, second year as the head coach. So they felt more secure in doing it with me as the head coach. But I've been trying to have behind the back pass for 10 years. And we finally had a freshman willing to do it. And I had my sophomore willing to do it. And it's the right decision at the time. That's the freedom that the kids that I want them playing. So here we're sprinting corner, finding sideline and just playing. Here's our spacing template. Our girl who pitched it ahead to the corner, she's going to cut to make space for a teammate. So now she creates a double gap. So she cuts to make space. And then we play through the trail and then we're looking inside for a paint touch. And then we're just in our footwork and paint touches. You know, this is all from one game where I focused on her transition. But good early pitch ahead. So there she went rim run. So our rule on rim run, if you don't get it, just space to the corner. If that okay. corner is filled, just space to the short corner. And then we could receive a corner pin for a little empty or an exit cut to the corner. Or she could back screen and we could be in quote unquote flex action, just with screening for a friend on the way in, screen for a friend on the way out. Nothing called, just something in their toolbox that they could use. So she does eventually get out to the corner. We cut to make space, and then we're looking to play through the trail. She should cross step right away and get into that space, which she does. One things that happen that we do practice, I call it bunching. Like there, we had three kids all bunched together. So sometimes I'll just start a possession. Hey, you three are right here. You got 2 seconds to get to our spacing template. So they bunch and unbunch. Uh-huh. And right. You got to practice it one time and kids understand, hey, get out of there. Make sure you unbunch to our template or to our spacing or make space for a teammate. So here she goes, gets a good stride stop. I thought she got fouled, but a good stride stop floater. So that's our transition piece to this, where it just then slides into, because I don't teach a secondary break. We just get into our concepts as soon as we get the ball, for lack of a better way of saying it. And that's how we try to create advantage. And it is helpful to have kids who are willing to try things and willing to do it. So here's a look. This is where we pin the help. So this would be our corner pin. So our 45 just sees it and she tries to pin the help. It just creates big advantage. So that's our last thing with pinning. We do back screen a lot. This one we saw already. Again, we're eventually getting, she's got to choose. Do I stay at help or do I go out to the shooter? And it just makes that decision. Just that little bit of disorganization that gives us, here's an initial long pin and skip. We just get a big advantage right away. This was out of against a zone. That's how we teach a pinning. Here's one. We go step up ball screen. So just a little change the angle. We're making these kids, again, she has to decide, am I going to go help? We got a gravity driver, or do I stay with a shooter? And we pin that backside. Hammer action. None of this is called. Again, it's just kids understanding, oh, there's a baseline drive. I could pin for my friend on the way in. So it's, again, it's just, and then we just go with the, here she went with the shooter because she just made one. So then that took the help away and you're getting wide open looks sometimes. You know, if you can get one or two a game of those, that's helpful to the points per possession. You know, it's kind of nice. Then you just gotta make them. But that is how we create advantage. And then the last thing I want to talk about is basically how we practice this. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing is not to overthink it. See the action you want to see, pick a couple, and have the kids start in 3-on-3, high ball screen, roll replace. Then maybe add a fourth player, add a ball side corner. And then just really allow the kids to play in it. And then let them play out of it. So when we go 5-on-5 and we're in our 5-on-5 stuff, we have a name for everything. So say, hey, let's start with the pop formation, but you got to score with a get, you know, and then eventually in the possession, they have to get a get. Somebody's going to empty cut and then we'll go on a get and just rinsing and repeating. And it creates that structure, but then they have freedom within that structure. And that's why at the beginning it's structured improvisation. The kids are allowed to improvise. I have to have that. They see my vision. I have to have that flexibility in process to teach them, hey, you got to make decisions. And that's where that ties into that ball. And you just build from there and embed footwork. That's your practicing your footwork in all of that. And if you see your footwork is going crazy, get back into, I'm just going pass and I'm stride stopping. I'm going one-on-one, stride stop one-on-one. And decisions are all embedded in that as well. And then you just have to teach them where to look. That's the biggest thing. Because kids, that's where going two-on-two. Now it takes away that third help kid on a ball screen roll. So at least they can see where to look. And then slowly, this process is, again, simple, but it isn't easy and it is not quick. It just is building it, and allowing a bunch of mistakes to happen, but yet teaching and reteaching and say, hey, where are you looking? Where do you think the help was? Where is their space? What makes sense? And that sense making is the hardest thing to get. But once kids know how to play with their finishes, their drive reactions, their cutting, that's when you can install a set. So one set I'm going to share here today this will be our last thing that I show, how it kind of builds on things where it's a set action, multiple action, is something we just call snap. It's based out of pop, but it shows all of our concepts in a set action. So it's a ball screen action, but it has a stagger, it's got a corner pin, and it's got prime post-ups. It's kind of a counter out of our pop. So here we eventually get into it. And it's, again, kind of looks high ball screen, but instead of having the replace, she's getting a stagger. And now she just reads out of the stagger. Then we have a corner pin and then a pin and post. And now we're in our dribble post-up. So all of the stuff just connects together, and it's good action for us. We could score multiple ways, and it just ties in everything that we've learned. But the biggest thing is I don't put this in first. This is the last thing. So it's like, okay, we know how to pin. So here they, okay, we're doing a stagger. So they know what that is. They know what a corner pin is. So she knows, okay, I'm corner pinning. This is our next pass. You know, we go no step. She makes space. We're looking to go into prime. And then she's able to dribble post up. And gravity players always help because now they can't dig down. And that makes the space. Middle to explore is how we say it. So here's a corner pin decision. So this is a call. We're calling snap. But again, it's just high ball screen. And they could deviate from this if they need to, if they're starting to overplay. And then now corner pin, we get a wide open three.
Right. I love it.
Yeah. So that's pretty much everything we do. and it just rinse and repeat. But the biggest thing is our goal is to really help create, and the kids work on their own a ton to become gravity players. Again, it doesn't matter what you run then at that point if you have gravity players.
Yeah,
so that's how we do it.
Yeah, that's good stuff. And thanks for breaking it down for me, for sure. And the listeners.
Absolutely.
They're going to absolutely love it. I know I got a lot out of it. Hey, my one question is, what are your goals? What are your game goals? What are you looking for analytically or statistically that for each game? Do you have like 5 or 6 goals? You have 1 or 2. What are your main goals?
So on the offensive side, it's we want an effective field goal percentage above 50. So we want that. This year on the season, we were 49%. So we're pretty close. we didn't shoot it well enough from 3 to get it above 50. We were only at 32.8% from 3. I want that above 33%. It's still not bad, but again, our expectations, you know, we're trying to win our conference and state championship, you know, that's, and we're capable of shooting that. So that's our goal. 1.0 points per possession each game is our goal. We want to hold the opponent to 0.75 points of possession. That's our goal. We were again 1.05 on the year. So we reached that goal. That's fantastic. I like that. And then our turnover percentage is, I want it at 15 or under. That's for us as coaches. Now, with the kids, what we do is give them challenges for the day, for the game. So if we're playing, you know, high level kid who's going to UConn, our goal was to not give her any free throws. You know, she's scoring 30 points a game. Most of them were from the free throw line. So we would say, hey, this kid is not getting more than 5 free throws this half. Or number 14, 33, and 12, we have to keep them under 20 total points for the game. So that with the kids, I give them specific things that are tangible to them. But the analytical stuff is for me. And then we go over the analytical stuff after games or the next day at practice. Like, hey, we reached our goal. We were 1.0. But for the kids, that it doesn't mean much to them. The analytical stuff, because they look at me like, what are you talking about? You know, but the tangible challenges, they take pride in that. They know if we kept this kid under her average. Those are the things that we tell the kids. And then we go by half with that. So first half, these challenges, and then second half, these challenges. So it's fresh and it's tangible for them.
That's awesome. Yeah, because everybody, what about rebounding? I mean, how important is rebounding to you guys offensively? I know for us, we shoot for a 43%, you know, offensive rebound percentage. What do you guys shoot for, or do you focus on that?
Well, we do. The one thing we do talk about is because we in the last 2 years, we've implemented the tag up system. So we're tagging up.
Okay.
Now it hasn't transferred consistently yet because we still have some times where kids forget just match up with your kid. Cause there are no matchups in transition. We're just tagging up on who was guarding you. We've gotten better. Now I'm hopeful this next year will be better. So we do talk about offensive rebounding. We want to get them inside. We go to the high side, so towards the middle. And then our corners, because we always have corners filled on offense, we want them crashing hard to the high side. And then we look at percentages again. As a coaching staff, we will give them a number. But it's so rebounding to me, it's so dependent on if you're making or missing. You know, so it's like I don't give them a hard number. We go by percentage. But then we do talk about defensive stuff, like limiting particular kids who their best rebounder is. Hey, your job, you might not get a defensive rebound, but you are taking this kid away. So it's more almost like that challenge base with the rebound. And we've been better. We were a decent rebounding team to good rebounding team this year. We need to take the next step of being meaner, of being able to, hey, don't let people rebound. We're still giving up too many putbacks. But a lot of times that is when we're in rotation. So we do practice a ton of, okay, you're the low help. Next kid, you got to crack back and you got to box out that kid. And then the next got to go. So we do a bunch of that with our rebounding drills out of a 3-on-3 situation.
Right. That's great stuff. David, thank you so much for coming on. I can talk to you for a long time, man. It's great.
Hey,
stuff.
Absolutely. Get me going, and I love talking hoops.
Yeah, your next podcast is the tagging up, because I'm really looking at that as well.
Okay.
We were actually, Coach, we did not shoot the ball well, but we were a great rebounding team, probably because we were horrible shooters.
Yeah, but that, you know, that's so true, you know, and then it's just go get the ball. You know, that's the one thing. It's like, and we weren't bad. I mean, we lost 4 games. The 4 games that we lost the rebounding battle. You know, that's the one thing that, you know, we had 23 games where we won the rebounding battle. So again, it was okay to good. But for us to make that next step now, we need to win that battle in those games where they were more physical than us. And that's say that's our challenge to the kids this year.
That's awesome. David, thank you so much. I have the information for them, but talk a little bit how coaches can reach out to you and so forth. So I know you're a busy guy.
Anytime, easiest way is on Twitter. I'm just at DLFied. I share a bunch of stuff on there, but it's KimberlyGirlsBasketball@gmail.com. You can send me an email. I'm pretty good about getting those back. And I share a ton. I do have a YouTube site and a website. If you search on YouTube, just look for Kimberly Girls Basketball. You'll find it. All of these videos that I showed on there are on that site. Again, and I don't mind if people watch. You know, it's like it doesn't matter because we're not continuity. We're just skill based and choice based. So it's we try to put people into choices and we try to make the right choice. Doesn't always happen, but that's the goal.
Yes, yes. And I think you might know I'm going to be having John Leonzo. I don't know if
I love John.
Yeah, that'd be next week, Coach. So I'm getting the best of the best, man.
Fantastic.
I'm an elementary PE teacher. Matter of fact, just really quick, you know, the master's is out here. So we're doing our, we call it the Commerce Open.
Nice.
In our PE class, and we're doing putt for dough. We have all these putting stations set up.
Cool.
I'll send you a video, Coach.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I'm an elementary PE teacher as well. And I mean, might have to do that. It gives me an excuse to put it up on the big screen.
Coach, thank you so much. I appreciate you coming on the Championship Vision podcast. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Coaches, welcome to the Championship Vision podcast. I'd like to introduce our new Championship Vision podcast sponsor, Blast Athletics. Social media has taken over the world, so we decided to use this powerful technology to build a network that combines team communication, recruiting, fundraising, and crowdsourced coverage for all amateur sports, cheer and band, club, youth, high school, and college. Ask yourself, why is every function of sports handled separately? Group communication, team websites, apps, calendars, fundraising, recruiting, real-time coverage, highlight videos, photos, club, school, band, websites, combines stats. If they were all connected, wouldn't they naturally enhance each other? The answer is yes. And here is an example of how. One video, unlimited value. Imagine you are about to head to your daughter's club softball game and you open the Blast Athletics app to get the game time and directions. While at the game, you are filming with your phone and catch a great highlight of your daughter running a double play. So you post to that game's page on Blast and tag the shortstop and first baseman. Just by posting that video, it is immediately shared on the team's webpage, the club network page, and each athlete's Blast profile. Anyone following along online can view it as soon as it uploads. The video will be later emailed to each of your daughter's sponsors from the Blast fundraisers. I know, coaches, you would love to get this. Please contact Bobby McPhillips. His cell number is 706-202-2247. You can reach him on Twitter X at Coach McPhillips. Thank you.